This morning's reading is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 10, and you can find it on page 1042 in the Pew Bible. Jesus' teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation." Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Amen.
Many years ago before I was born, not so very many years ago, before I was born in the 50s, my family lived in America, lived in Chicago. And my dad always used to say to me, "One of these days I'm going to take you to America and show it to you." And year after year, I remember going to school, telling my friends, "Next year we're going to America." And we didn't. And then the next year I'd say, "We're going to America." And we didn't. So year after year, I'd say, "We're going to America." Never made it. Until the 90s, and I made it. We went along. I've been invited by a church to come and sing in New York. And we went out there, and I was ready to be disappointed. You know the way you've got places in your mind, and you think it's going to be really great and overwhelming, and you get there and you think, oh, you come back disappointed. It wasn't what you expected. So I was ready to be underwhelmed. But we were picked up from the airport, and as we drove along, I was overwhelmed. I thought, look at these buildings, how high they stretch into the sky. They were just enormous. It was just amazing. I thought it was the most fantastic. I loved it. I've never been back, but I'll have to go back one of these days. But it was just so overwhelmingly big. The first skyscraper that was built, do you know when the first skyscraper was built? It's back in Genesis chapter 11. So it's even longer than you were thinking. It was the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. Some commentators say that this Tower of Babel reached more than a mile high into the sky. Could you take that in? I don't know where they get their facts, their archaeology from, but some people reckon it was more than a mile high. That is pretty high. And why were they doing that? The text tells us that they were doing it to reach to God, to make a name for themselves. And yet, no matter how high we climb, our efforts are always puny when we try to reach God in that kind of a way, because the text says, God says, let's go down and see what they're doing. Let's go down. Even a mile high seemed nothing to God. But we always try to reach up beyond ourselves. There's something within us to try to reach out, to reach to God. And even recently in the news, they've been talking about the moon, one of the moons in Jupiter, and is this water coming from the surface? And we get really excited because we think, are we alone in the universe? And I can tell you, and you know the answer, are we alone in the universe? No, we are not. God fills this universe. He is clothed in majesty. And he has come and walked on the earth. But people try to reach up. And as I was reading the Lord's Prayer, because that's what we're thinking about today, the Lord's Prayer. We've been thinking about prayer for the last few weeks, the importance of prayer. I've been trying to impress myself the importance of prayer, and also you, that this is the most important thing that we could do as followers of Jesus. There is nothing more important than prayer. Prayer. And as you read through, as Dawn read that passage from Luke, I want you to see this prayer, as we look at it briefly, as enormous skyscrapers reaching into heaven. Whenever I was a child, I remember I got into bed every night and I said the Lord's Prayer as quick as I could. Our Father who art in heaven, God bless mum, God bless dad, God bless. Amen. Go to sleep. And that was it. It was all kind of flat. The Lord's Prayer was kind of flat. I don't know what your impression of the Lord's Prayer is. But every line is a skyscraper reaching up to God. And I want you to see it in that way as we look at it briefly. It is a skyscraper. Every petition, every request is a skyscraper reaching into the heavens. And look at the way it starts. Look at the gateway that we come through. The word Babel, as in the Tower of Babel or Babylon, means gateway to the God. This was a gateway to the God. But Jesus gives us this beautiful gateway. And what are the first two words? Our Father. What an amazing gateway into God. The disciples had said to him, they could have asked him many things. They could have said, show us how to calm the wind and the waves, to have power over all these natural forces. Teach us how to make blind people see. Teach us how to raise the dead. But they said their one and only request of teaching was, teach us to pray. And so he taught them, and he taught them to say, Our Father. He could have said anything. He could have said, when you come to God, say, O Lord Almighty who fills the heavens. He could have said, O Lord, creator and sustainer of the universe. O Lord, the everlasting one. But no, he didn't choose to use those words. He said, when you pray, say this, Our Father. Isn't that immense? Our inclusive, Father intimate. Jesus never prayed to God without using the word Father. This would have been spoken in Aramaic, Abba, Abba, Father. And he taught his disciples to use the same words. Does that seem right that we can call God the enormous one? We can call him Father. Who can do that? John chapter 1 tells us, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. John chapter 1 verse 12. To all who received him, to receive Jesus, who believed in Jesus and in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. And Jesus taught us to take that child relationship and say, Father. So as we enter into this prayer through this vast gateway into God's presence, our Father. There are a number of petitions in the prayer. We know them. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In a sense, he's saying the same thing in three different ways. Your name, your kingdom, your will. Your name, your kingdom, your will. And that little phrase, on earth as it is in heaven, isn't just connected to the third one. May your will be done on earth. It's connected to all three. So say, may your name be honored on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the plea. This is the cry. This is the prayer of a child of God who wants his Father to be everything, to be all in all, to fulfill these prayers for his name to be honored, for his kingdom to come, and for his will to be done. These enormous skyscrapers. May your name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. It's awful when people take God's name and misuse it. To see something on TV or a film or just in general life, people swear and use all sorts of bad language, and it's not great. But what really grates on me is when people take the name of Jesus, the name of Christ, and use it in a derogatory way. May your name be revered on this earth as it is in heaven. When we think about a name is one and the same as a person. So whenever God revealed his name to Moses at the burning bush, when Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And God told him, tell him, Yahweh, I am who I am. God revealed his name, and in revealing his name, he revealed himself. That's how the Hebrews thought about a name, and we think of it as well. if you slander someone and give them a bad name, it's not just their name, it's their whole persona. Or their name is mud. The name and the person go together. And these are great petitions that your name will be hallowed. And then that your kingdom will come. This is something that the prophets prophesied. They saw a day when God's kingdom would come in all its fullness. When the lion and the lamb would lie down together. When Eden would be restored. And the prophets saw this day coming. And this prayer is saying to God, the prophets saw it. Lord, would you make it happen today? Let your kingdom come today. When Jesus came and walked on the earth, that is what he taught about. But God's kingdom, the kingdom of God is very near you. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom has come, but not in its fullness. But it will. When he returns, behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. It's the year for the kingdom to fully come. But this prayer is saying, Lord, look what the prophet saw. I really want this to happen. Let it happen today. And then the third of those ones is your will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know another prayer in the New Testament that was about God's will being done? Do you remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane before he died? Father, I pray for your will to be done, not mine. Always seeking God's will. And when we say about may your will be done on earth, that's like big out there. May your will be done. This world's in a mess. May your will be done. Make it all right. But actually, it points right back to us when we use those words. May your will be done on earth. And that begins with me. It has huge implications for us. God's standards for his children, and this is a prayer that can only be prayed by his children, our Father. The standards are very high because these are the standards of a child of God. We are God's representative on earth. We are the manifestation of his kingdom today. What does the kingdom of God look like to the world? How will they know unless we live it? Radical, generous. We are God's representatives in this world. That is huge. May your will be done on earth. When you pray this prayer, and we'll be praying it a little moment, when we pray this prayer, we're saying to God, let your will be done in my life. And those standards are very high. That's not to put you off. Because who can achieve those? None of us can. But with Jesus in our lives, nothing is impossible for him. He begins to reshape our thinking and reshape our doing. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But in the meantime, these huge skyscrapers, God is worried about our everyday needs. There's a picture here that's a very famous picture of, you'll see this as posters and so on. This was taken in October 1932. This is one of those skyscrapers being built. This is in the Rockefeller Center. This is the 69th floor. And you may have seen, this is a group of guys. Look at them on that beam. Look at that drop. Would you like to sit on that beam? Doesn't that look scary? But they look like it's, hey, they're having their lunch. They're having a chat. They're having a rest. It looks so easy for them. When the people of Israel were left where they were in Egypt to head for the promised land, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. It must have felt like that or looked like that to many people. Precarious. How are you going to survive? So many people in a barren land. But Jesus asked us to pray, give us today our daily bread. And that's what God provided for the people as they went through the wilderness. Every day he provided bread, manna, for them. And he told them, just take enough for today. If you take more than enough for today, it'll go off, it'll be rotten. But just trust me. For today, and every day they woke up, there was fresh bread. And Jesus is asking us to pray the same prayer and have the same dependency as the people of Israel did. Give us today our daily bread. God provides for our needs, not for our greed, But he gives us what we need. Not what Jesus said. Your Father in heaven knows you. You need these things. Seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be given you. But he's interested in the very practical things, like daily bread. And when we eat that bread, and as we eat this bread at communion in just a moment, and even as we eat every day, what we're doing is not just satisfying a need for our bodies today. We're actually looking forward to a time to come when there'll be this enormous feast in heaven. And we'll eat the bread and drink the cup and have a party in heaven with the Lord himself when his kingdom will have fully come. There's going to be this amazing day that he points forward to. And it's not what Jesus said with the cup. I'm not going to drink this again until I do it in the kingdom when we party. That's what we're doing when we take communion. We're looking forward to this day and every day in between it. But we're always anticipating what is to come. And then it talks about forgiveness. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Is one dependent on the other? Forgive me my sin as I forgive others. Is one dependent on the other? Well, it appears to be so, doesn't it? It would be hypocrisy to ask God to forgive us if we ourselves had an unforgiving spirit. And this can happen so easy in a family, in a church, anywhere. We can bear grudges. We can hold hurts for decades. But this prayer says, and if you use these words, this is what you're saying, forgive me my sins, which are many, in the same way and with the same generosity as I forgive others. Is that an immense skyscraper into heaven? An immense thing to say? It is. And that's why we should say it knowingly and thinkingly. And Jesus in Matthew talks about the man who owed the king 10,000 talents. Israel paid Rome 200 talents a year as a tribute. So 10,000 talents is an enormous amount of money. It's worth billions and billions. He was saying someone owed a debt that was unpayable. It was impossible. But the king forgave him. But he was owed 50 cents. And he wanted it. And he was unforgiving. And he had the man who owed on that thrown into prison. Hypocrisy. But God calls us to be real. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. There's lots more to be said in this. I'm not going to say any more, I don't think. It just talks about the time of trial. It's really just praying, Lord, we know there's going to be attacks in this world. I know the evil one's out to get me. But Lord, would you help me in those days? Deliver us from evil. From the evil one. Help me when I'm tested. Help me when I'm tempted. Help me when I'm going through tough times. That is a prayer. This beautiful prayer. A skyscraper prayer.